Thank you, Brother Jordan, for the words of your prayer. Prayer for me, but prayer for God's word. I certainly hope that everything that we see here in God's word is for us here, even today. And I know that it is. We're going to be looking at the book of Jeremiah. I have been reading and looking at this for several weeks, and there are great portions of it that I'm not sure that I can even speak on. But there's a few things that I want to point out here as we look at the book of Jeremiah. First thing is I want to encourage you, whatever we don't read today or don't see, read all of the book of Jeremiah. That was a perfect song, Brother Jordan, that will approach some of the things that I've seen here in the book of Jeremiah and that the Lord has laid on our heart. Let's see, I'll have to get my notes down here. I'll weigh it down. Some things that I want you to know about Jeremiah. Some things that I didn't know, and I suspect. First of all, he was a young guy. Very young. One commentary said he had to be about the age of 13 when he began to, what the scripture says, prophesy. According to God's word. I don't see the 13th birthday in the Word of God here. But there's some historical facts here that adds up to his age. So you can take that any way you want to. But what I want you to understand is see that down through the years, and it could have been as many as 40 plus years, that the Lord come to Jeremiah and spoke to him. And he said, Jeremiah, I command you. Now, I'm speaking of all of the book of Jeremiah in this particular instance. But the Lord spoke to Jeremiah and the Lord would tell him, go over to Jeremiah and stand at the gate and I have some words for them. Or the Lord would go, tell him to go over through the land of Judea. Now, I'm not here to teach a history lesson, okay? There's more to it than history. I want us to apply some of the same things that the Lord spoke to Jeremiah, some of the things that he went through to our lives. Into our country, as you prayed about and spoke of earlier. You say, well, when I'm reading the book of Jeremiah, I'm just looking at some historical facts over there. I hope you're looking at more than that. That's absolutely true. You are wasting your time if that's all you get out of it. I could read all of the book of Jeremiah today, and I would love to, but we don't have that much time. We're going to be looking at basically chapter 8. Now, I want to say that I wrote here on my notes that he was born in this particular city, but I really don't know that he was born. I'd have to go back and study that some more. But he lived a great deal of his life in a small village called Anatoth. It's amazing. They didn't have the Yale University over there. They didn't have any college over there. They had a young man that just existed over there. The best I can tell, Brother Jordan, he lived there in a small village in the midst of the people, and the Lord went to him one day and said, Jeremiah, well, hold your place on chapter 8. Let's look at a few verses in chapter 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, the priest that were in Anatoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord. Now, I want to stop with that phrase right there for just a minute. The word of the Lord. We have heard these words before in this place, where it says, thus saith the Lord. So that's the phrase, and that's the phrase that I've had when I woke up during the middle of the night, Brother Jordan. I couldn't get those words off of my mind. Thus saith the Lord. And that's what I want you to get out of this. Don't take my words for anything. I want you to read all of it. But in the book of Jeremiah, this phrase, thus saith the Lord, was used 148 times, according to Easy Sword. 148 times, thus saith the Lord. And there's not but about, I believe there are 52 chapters in the book of Jeremiah. So more than, on the average, more than once, I say average because in chapter 8, he didn't use the phrase but one time. But he says here, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the king of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. I don't know whether that had anything to do with his birthday or not. I hadn't calculated it. But it doesn't really matter to me. It's the word of the Lord that we're talking about, and the word that we want to apply to our lives today, here. The words of God that we want to apply to our lives when we go out there in the marketplace, on the streets. I hate to even mention the streets. It's dangerous out there. But anyway, we need to always remember the Lord's word when we go to the grocery store, when we go to the gas station, when we go to our neighbor's house, no matter where we go, we need to remember the Lord's word. Now, I had trouble, Brother Jordan, with the phrase through here where he says, in a number of places, he says, my people. The Lord called the nation of Israel his people. Now, you can define that any way you want to, but I've always thought about when the Lord was speaking to his people, he was speaking to the saints of God. And that's fine if you want to believe that. Verse 3, it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. So if you read all of the book of Jeremiah, you're going to see, you'll see where the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. You can read more about it. And some of the messages that the Lord God gave to Jeremiah, he was to go and proclaim them in Babylon. And it speaks of other places also. It speaks of the Chaldeans. And I don't know the difference between the Chaldean nation and the Babylonians. You go find out by reading all of God's Word, all of the book of Jeremiah. And that's what I want you to do. And I want the Lord to speak to your heart as we look at some of these right here. We're going to look at chapter 8, I said. That's the one we'll use. And I'll basically read through it. At that time, saith the Lord. Now keep in mind, Jeremiah is speaking to the people. And he's repeating and declaring what the Lord has laid on his heart. When our pastor stands here and proclaims the word of God, he's declaring what the Lord has laid on his heart. But he's also taking it directly out of God's word. Now, we call our pastor a pastor. We don't call him a prophet. We don't call him a prophet. I'm not rightly sure how much of a difference in authority they might have, but my pastor is all the authority I need because he's telling me what God's word says and declares. And the Lord's laid it on his heart. And he shows us what passage of scripture to go to. Just as I believe that the Lord laid chapter 8 on my heart. And at that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah and the bones of the princes and the bones of the priests and the bones of the prophets and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. See the other place there, Jerusalem. And we can see other names through the passages here. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven whom they have loved. And I'm going to go to verse 4. It says, moreover, thou shalt say unto them, the Lord's word to Jeremiah, he said, go and say unto them, thus saith the Lord. There's that one time I was talking about, thus saith the Lord. But through this whole book of Jeremiah, he uses that 148 times. That's thus saith the Lord. Jeremiah was striving to be very careful about what the Lord laid on his heart, and he went about doing what God told him to do. How often, Brother Jordan, do we come to church and we sit here and we hear God's word, and when we go out that door, we forget all about what the Lord has spoken? I don't even like to think about that, Brother Jordan. I hope it's not either. I hope it's not often. But it's a scary thought that when we go forth out this door that we fail to say, oh, by the way, I feel like everybody in here is a saint of God, according to my standards. Now, it might be different according to God's standards. Thus saith the Lord of God, shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Can you imagine if the Lord walked in here today and you knew the truth. You've known the truth all along the way. Why are you going out there and living like you want to? And that's what people do. And I feel like in some ways that the Lord is talking to those that belong to him. But I've always thought of them as the wicked, the lost. those that didn't know the Lord. Does the Lord ever reprimand us, Brother Jordan? Yes, he does. Every day he reprimands us. I'm thankful. He advised me. He said, go to church today. And we had trouble getting out of the house today, Joyce. We were nearly short. We were nearly late picking you up. But I didn't hit anybody. And my wife didn't say a word. She was afraid to say anything. But I made it over in time, and I was in church on time. And the Lord saw to it that we were here. I'm not challenging what God has said to us, but I was determined to be here in the Lord's house today. I come here to worship the Lord. I come here to hear His word. I come here to Brother Jordan, there's someplace here in the book of Jeremiah, I believe it is, that there's a verse that says there about us turning to the left or to the right. We turn, if the Lord tells us to turn to the left, which way should we turn? To the left. If He tells us to turn to the right, we should turn to the right. Now, kids, I want y'all to remember this. I said earlier, as far as I know, Jeremiah was a young person. And one commentary says he was 13. And the Lord began to speak to him and command him to go here and go there and carry this message and carry that message. And I can tell right now I'm running out of time. I'm sorry. Verse 5. When then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backslide? Why are you going out into the world and living according to the world? You're not living according to the things of God. Are we going out there and loving the people, proclaiming the word of God when we go outside? Do I tell the neighbor across the street, Linda, enough about the Lord? I feel guilty there. I'm guilty. I know I'm guilty. But if I fail to go out there and talk to the neighbor about the Lord, it's because I know the truth, because we've been here, Brother Jordan. I'm trying to let you know that we need to apply this to our life. They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying. That does bother me. I hope it bothers you. Have you repented? Are you living the way the Lord tells us to in His Word? Are we forgetting about His Word and just going about living our life? We go out there and my sole job, I sure need to get me a new truck, my Brother Jordan. That's all I got on my mind lately, and I shouldn't be going around thinking about getting that new truck for myself. I need to be thinking about how does that profit the kingdom of God. What have I done? Do you ever ask yourself that? What have I done? How have I fallen short? What can I do to repent? How do you repent? You repent. You turn back toward God's word and take it in and make it part of your life. Everyone turns to his course. In other words, the Lord is accusing them of you going out there just living your life like you've always done. You're forgetting about what I have told you to do. You're only thinking about what your daddy has told you to do. You're only doing that which the government has told you to do. You're only doing that which your neighbor has. I hate to keep bringing up that lady across the street, Joyce. And one day I'll tell you more about her. She said, well, I've got my own opinion as to what God's word says. She said, I'm going to live the way I want to. Is that the way you want to live? Like you want to live? Or should we live like the Lord wants us to live? What have I done? Everyone turneth to his course as the horse rushes into the battle. What does that mean? You go charging in and do it just like you want to. That's correct. Absolutely. Fools rush in. And that's exactly what the Lord was saying to these people right here. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times. I wonder where we got that saying about the stork. But did you see it? I want you to forget the word stork, but remember this. Her appointed times. When the Lord gives us something to do and he lays it on our hearts, it's time to go do it. And the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. Notice that. Did you see the word my people? He's not talking to just the lost people here, if they ever hear the word anyway. But he's speaking to his people, to the saints of God, to those that belong to him. My people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do we say? I'm sorry. That's not we. How do you say? The Lord's speaking to them. How do you say we are wise? And by the way, people of Chaldea, the Chaldeans, were supposed to be very wise and smart, intelligent people. They thought they were smarter than God, in fact. Do we think that we're smarter than God to go out there and live like we want to? We should be going out there and telling other people about the Lord, about the proclaiming the gospel to them. We should be being obedient to the Lord. That's what we need, wherever he sends us. How do we say, how do you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? And the law of, that's it, by the way, that's a question. Are you living like God wants you to live? It's amazing that the Lord even asked them that question, sent that message to them. That's amazing. To me it is. Certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. That's what these people that the Lord's speaking to here. They're saying, the pen of the scribe is in vain. When we go outside, after sitting here in church all day on Sunday, two different messages, three sometimes, are we saying, I don't believe that word. It's a waste of my time to even listen to it. You say, well, I don't live like that. I don't talk like that. But what about your life? What about my life? When we go out there, we're to live like God tells us to live in his word. And that's what Jeremiah, he's repeating the words of the Lord here. And Why did he choose Jeremiah? He's chosen us here also. We are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us. Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. It's a waste. Don't pick it up until next Sunday. You don't need it until you go to church on Sunday and follow the preacher and give him the idea that you're being obedient to God's word. Brother Jordan, do any of us live the life of Paul or the Lord Jesus Christ out there in that world, including you and me? When I begin to think the way that I live out in the world, it causes me great sadness. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord. Verse 9. Have you rejected the word of the Lord? Before I run out of time, I want to remind you of what was said over the book of Revelation, over where the Lord said to the in the seven churches, he said, I know your works. I know your heart. I know what you're living up to. And there's another word I want to remind you of. Brother Jordan used it the other day. Last week, I believe it was. Malachi 3 and 6, where it says, I change not. When we hear the word of God here, it's forever. It does not change. Verse 11, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Sorry, but I haven't read all that I would like to read today. But I beg you, take this home and read the whole thing. Read all of it. Don't read it once. Read it twice so you'll better understand it. I always read something. I take something and I learn more after I read it two or three times, Brother Jordan. Would you believe that I heard a preacher, and he was somewhat liberal, but he said, You don't know a passage of scripture until you've read it 30 times. I said, oh my goodness. Correct, right? I nearly fell out when I heard him say it 30 times. I don't see how in the world I can even read it 30 times. There might be a few passages that I have looked at several times. If we go through here and read all of this, the book of Jeremiah here, and we see these words here, thus saith the Lord, by the time we get through, we can say, well, we read that 30 times, because the commentary says 148 times. I'm trying to figure out what I can say in this sit down. Down in verse 13, notice the words here. I will surely consume them that saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine or figs. All kind of problems can come into your life when you're not following after the word of God. It's not just a one-time thing. You live in this world like you want to, and then when judgment day comes, the Lord will take care of all the other matters, and then you'll begin to know that you failed him, and you did, but We're to be obedient to God's word every day of our lives. Let me see. Oh, here's a verse I see. I'm not even going to look at the contents of it, Brother Jordan. I'm over in chapter 11. It says, yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked everyone in the imagination of their evil heart. Now, earlier I was thinking that these were the people of God that belonged to him. And here he's saying, yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked everyone in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do. But they did not, but they did them not. Brother Jordan, I'm going to stop right there. I plead with you to read all the book of Jeremiah. Yeah, you read all of God's word. That's what we're to do, read all of God's word. But I found some things here in the book of Jeremiah that was very powerful, very convicting, very educational, very beneficial.
The book of Jeremiah is a commentary on our own day. There's no question about that. When we talk about, when the Bible talks about God's people, especially when he's talking about the people of Israel, they are and were called his people. Every one of them were called his people, and yet they, in many cases, were not his people. In fact, most of them never were his true people. For instance, in the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, he tells them, it says, verse 5, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. And yet they are called by his name. He chose the nation of Israel out of all the nations of the world. Or he actually chose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob out of all the people of the world. And he made a great nation of Abraham. But those people were not his people in the true sense of the word. And that's the thing that we need to be aware of, is that you can be called the people of God. And there are multitudes of people today that are called Christians, but they're not Christians. Because as Moses said there in Deuteronomy 32, because they have not the spot of his children. What is the spot of his children? Like you said, Brother Jerry, it's obedience. And if you read, I believe it's in the 7th chapter of Jeremiah, may be wrong there. It's the 3rd chapter or 7th chapter anyway. He tells them there, I spoke not unto your fathers when I brought them up out of the land of Egypt concerning sacrifice and offering, but this one thing I said, obey my voice. And God's people do obey his voice. Are we free from all sin? No, we're not. You're right, Brother Jerry. Sometimes I'm very concerned about myself when I'm outside of these walls. And yet, I do have this confidence that God is directing my life. And I do have a desire to talk to people about the Lord. Where I work, there's probably not more than two or three people that I can actually talk to. And even then, it's what I say is usually over their heads. You could tell it's over their heads. One of those people is a man that he calls himself a Christian, and yet he follows the Jewish laws, of ceremonial laws. He and I talk about occasionally. There's another lady there that I talk to occasionally that she claims to be a Christian, but you can tell that her ideas are very, very, very shallow. Is she a Christian? Well, that's up to God. I'm not the one to judge either one of those. I'm not the judge of them. But for the most part, most of the people, they do not want to hear anything that has to do with the things of God. It's sad from a human point of view, but does God know? He does know, doesn't he? And it is amazing that I don't know how old Jeremiah was, and like you said, it really doesn't matter. But when God spoke to Jeremiah, he also went, didn't he? But I hope that that we are at least to a degree that agreeable. But again, our Lord tells us not to think about what we shall say, for it will be given you at that time. And it will be the Spirit of God that speaks. I believe in that. And I think I have told you maybe once or twice about my experience some years back when I was working at Maurice Pencoff's company as the head of their transportation department. There was about a year there that it was so wonderful. I've said it before. In that year's time, I don't know how I got my work done. Why? Because there was always somebody that wanted to talk about the things of the Lord. They were asking questions. I didn't have to approach them. They came to me. We would go out for lunch and there was always questions and wanting to know this and wanting to know that. And even people in the world of transportation, truck line, people that own truck lines and people that work for the railroads. Of course, I was interactive with these people being in the transportation department. But I've said sometimes I think I preached more in that one year than I ever have preached in that length of time or several years since then, because it was a daily thing, every day. And it was so wonderful. And I didn't have to study about what I was going to say. God just gave me the words. But after that year, he kind of just quit. All of a sudden, it started suddenly and it stopped suddenly. And I think God was teaching me a lesson. And that lesson is, again, I will give you the words. If I have to force someone to listen to me, it's no good. They're not going to listen to you anyway. But I know, I do hope and I pray that we will think about these things and do consider that, yes, we do have a life to live for God. That's what he's called us for, is to live. Ye shall be my witnesses. But see, that's the declaration and the promise of God. That's what I love about sovereign grace, is that God works in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We'll cover that maybe a little bit in the messages this morning, or in today. Close to thee. Is that what you want to be? Close to him. I trust that that is our prayer. And again, I'm convinced that God is preparing us to be close to him. He is bringing us close to him. And he is preparing us to be close to him, so close that we're going to see him face to face and be just like him. But that is a good prayer. Close to thee.